Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and we're going through the book of Proverbs. We're in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. I hope that my application thus far is seems right to you, though probably there are some out there that think that the application may be a little too practical. Yes, indeed. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 20. Wisdom cries without. She crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorners and scorning, and fools hate knowledge. It's everywhere, you know. She utters in the streets. Everywhere you turn, wisdom is there. You just have to open your eyes to see it. How long will you love simplicity? How long will the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn, he says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and will make known my words unto you. You know, that's something I definitely counted on. That's why I persisted in reading the book of Proverbs and wearing those pages out in my Bible. And I challenge everyone hearing my voice, get your Bible out. Open it up to the book of Proverbs. Read it once. Then read it twice. Then read it three times. And then perhaps you'll start to understand. And you see what I'm getting out of it, the practical application of much of this to the things that we all have to deal with in this life. Seems practical to me. Turn you at my reproof. It means live by these words. You know, don't just simply go on. Well, that's nice, but just do nothing about it. Understand the subtlety, the dark sayings. Understand what's going on around you. Understand what the meanings of the legal implications are of the things that people are trying to get you to agree to. Every time you put your signature to something, every time you sign a document, let's say you sign the document to get the Social Security number to go to work, you should understand it's a net. It's being spread for your soul. They want the first fruits of your labor. They want you to become a ward of the state. And basically, that's what you're doing. You're saying, oh, please, great God of the state, I'm signing up for your benefits because something might happen and I might not be able to take care of myself. And I need you. I need your benefits. Oh, God can't, you know, the Creator God can't take care of me. I have a new God. I've forgotten his benefits. And this new God is going to take care of me. The image of the beast is going to take care of me. Because basically that's what it is. They've created an image, and they've asked you to worship it. They've asked you to agree to obey it. And then they go, then a lot of these people, they don't, they're, I mean, there's the net was spread, and they stepped into it. It shows you how little understanding these people have when they go and they stand before the judge and they say, show me the law. Because they're thinking that they never stepped into a net. They're thinking they never signed an agreement. They're thinking they're still freemen when they've contracted their life away. And they'll file their papers with the court with their signature. And of course, the papers ask them for that identifying mark that identifies them as residents of that system that they're challenging. On the papers they file with the court, and then they'll get a court-appointed attorney, an officer of the court. And when you get an officer of the court to represent you or to represent you, what you're saying is that I'm incompetent. I can't stand for myself. So he stands for me. And they say, show us the law. And the judge goes, well, gosh, you know, you've acknowledged the law. I have your signature on the forms with your identifying number saying that you signed these agreements. Or you wouldn't have this number. You wouldn't have this identifying resident number if you didn't sign these agreements. So there's the evidence. You've testified against yourself. Guilty. And they ship them off to jail, and they're going, why didn't that work? Oh, the tyranny of the courts. Oh, no, all he's doing is upholding your private agreement. Show us the law. And you've shown them the law. And the judge is under no obligation to show you anything if you've already acknowledged it. What's he going to show you? You've already acknowledged it. The only thing he's going to show you is it's not in his interest to show you how, where you've erred, your misunderstanding. It's not in his interest because he's benefiting, because he's lurking privily for your blood, for your life and your labor to enrich him. And especially if he has stock in the prison industry where he's going to send you, because they can, by that, they can further, you know, get the state, their image they've created to fund the prison industry so they can benefit by their stock in it. Just make the people, tax the people harder, you know, with all the people with their identifying numbers that are filling out their forms and acknowledging that they have an obligation by the agreement that they've entered into. It goes on and on. The subtlety of deceit. Turn at my reproof. Chapter 1 and verse 23. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your Holy Spirit in opening my eyes. Because I have called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Yeah, he's talking about the majority of the people. This is the position you're in. He calls, they refuse. He stretches out his hand. No man regards. You have set at naught all my counsel. And would none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity and mock when your fear cometh. And who's speaking here? Wisdom, instruction. Yeah, that's the position. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They'll go. Show us the law! Show us the law! Oh, they're persecuting me! God, where are you? Where are you? And he says, they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. You know? For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. Let's think about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And Daniel again. Did they choose the fear of the Lord over the government? The fear of the government? Which one did they choose? Which one did Daniel choose when they were dragging him off to the lion's den? You know, when he made the decision and he knew that death at the hands of the government were going to be the result. Or how about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were commanded? You know, some little Nazi said, "Hey! Those Hebrews over there, they're not bowing down." That's what happened. Somebody told on him. Somebody squealed on him. Some little Nazi squealed on him. And then, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, they brought him to Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar said, "Well, you know, perhaps you guys didn't understand. I'm going to give you another chance. We're going to play all that music again. And, you know, you guys, I really like you guys. And I don't want to throw you into the fiery furnace, okay? So I'm going to give you another chance, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when you hear the music again, just fall down and worship and save your lives. Otherwise, you know, I have to make an example out of you guys. And I really don't want to do it." This Nebuchadnezzar over there going, giving these guys another chance. Yep. And they said, "Well, you know what? You can play the music again, but we're not going to break God's law. We can't bow down to your image, Nebuchadnezzar. We cannot. We choose the fear of God over the fear of man. We choose the fear of God over your police who are going to throw us into that furnace." That's what they chose. They chose the fear of Yahuwah. Fear not those who can kill the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. He said, "For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, the fear of Yahuwah." That means you hate knowledge if you do not choose. And see, and that means that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, what did they? They loved the knowledge of God. They loved his law. Daniel loved his law. They chose the fear of the Lord. Fear not him who can kill the body, but him who can cast both body and soul into hell. For that they hated knowledge. So if you do not choose the fear of Yahuwah, if you do not choose the fear of the Lord, that means you hate knowledge. You hate his knowledge. And it says, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof when he tried to reprove you. You know, it's like I said, I prayed, correct me, Father. And if correction doesn't work, then chastise me. Whatever it takes, teach me. Write your law upon my heart. You be my God, because forever is a long time. This life is short. They may kill my body. They may do terrible things to me. They may drag my children before my face and kill them and torture them one by one. But who will I fear? If I say, oh no, not my children. Oh no, whatever you want. I'll sign the document. I will fear you. Don't kill my children. Don't torture my children. You know what? I'm going to lose my children and my soul because I'm going to fear man. I'm going to put the fear of man, the fear of an image, the fear of torture and death before the fear of God. There's nothing, no created thing can we place before him. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Anything. We cannot, if they drag our children before us and they're going to kill them one by one to get us to break God's law, it would be a terrible mistake to recant at that time and to say, okay, and to give in. Okay, it's a light thing that you ask. Yeah, it was a light thing. They could have just said, oh, we're not really going to worship the image. We're just going to get down on our knees. We're going to pretend to worship the image because it's a light thing. It's a light thing. Yeah. No, it was a serious thing. It is a serious thing. His law, when we decide, because what the decision we're making is, do we obey God or do we obey man? Do we live a life that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father? Or do we become men pleasers? Yes, this is a hard thing, isn't it? Especially if we find ourselves entangled up in all kinds of ungodly, unlawful agreements with the world. We are in the world and we are of it. We have cast in our lot with unbelievers. We have become unequally yoked with unbelievers. It's a terrible thing if we find ourselves in that position. But you know what? Obedience can start today. We can't say, oh, it's too late for me. God's just going to have to understand. Well, yes, he understands. He understands that you don't want to obey him. He understands that you think that because, you know, that your law is more important and you are more important than his law, that pleasing yourself is more important than pleasing him. Yeah, he understands. He understands, all right. He understands why you can't keep his law. He understands. You know, he would have understood if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego couldn't keep his law, if they bowed down because it was going to cost them their lives. Yeah, he'd understand. He'd understand this. He'd understand that their lives were more important than obedience to him. He'd understand that they were obeying a thing, that they loved their lives more than they loved him. They were putting the creature before the creation. He understands, yes. And that's the wisdom of the truth. He understands, and we need to understand ourselves what he understands. Let us not be deluded in thinking that we're going to be excused because God understands why we can't keep his law. We can listen to the lies being whispered in our ears by the deceiver and think he understands, therefore we're excused. No, he understands, and we're not excused unless we get on our knees and we repent. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know what? They wouldn't even take a chance that they could repent later, that God would understand how they had to save their lives because it was going to cost them everything. Yeah, I love those Bible stories. Don't you just love those Bible stories? I love them. Yes. They're so to the point. They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. He understands, and this is what he understands. Yes, you'll eat the fruit of your own way. Your own way, because you're not going his way. You're not repenting. Repenting means to turn around, to throw it off, to have his law written on your heart, to change your mind and start walking in a way that pleases him rather than a way that pleases you, in a way that may cost you your life rather than save your life. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Oh, haven't you seen that? Fools prosper and it destroys them. Yeah. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You know, and I have that peace that passes all understanding. I want you to have it too. You know, repent. Back out of those agreements slowly, all of those ungodly agreements, all of those things that you, where you find yourself unequally yoked with unbelievers. It doesn't matter, you know. Don't listen to the excuses. If it's ungodly, it's ungodly. If it's breaking God's law, it's breaking His law. You need to repent and just work on Him one at a time. Let His Holy Spirit work in your life and don't balk. And pray this prayer with me. Father, correct me. By your Holy Spirit, correct me when I'm doing something that goes against your law, when I'm doing something that doesn't please you. Please correct me. I would rather be corrected than go astray. And if I won't heed your subtle correction by your word, by whatever means you correct me, then chastise me. That's right. Hurt me. Cause me pain, that I might learn your ways, that I don't lose my soul, that my whole body and soul is not cast into hell. Chastise me. So get my attention, whatever it takes, but help me to heed your correction. Help me to learn to live a wise life. Help me to keep my foot from the wrong path. Let me be like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Let me be a Daniel today. Let me understand your law so I don't walk in the evil way, that I stay my foot immediately from breaking your law, that I understand the subtlety and the dark sayings, and that when the net is spread before me, like the net spread before a bird, that I see it, that I understand it. It's not a physical net. It's a net of words. It's a net of deception. Help me to understand those things and teach me discipline by your word. Teach me to follow your word. Give me understanding. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. And it's a wonderful place to be, to have that peace that passes all understanding, to know no matter what happens, no matter what happens, I don't have to fear. I can be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They weren't shaken in their boots. You know, I'm sure that when that little Nazi pointed to him and said, "Hey, those Hebrew boys over there, they didn't bow down." You know how you get that feeling, like when you see the cop behind you in the rear of your mirror, you know that feeling, or a letter shows up from the IRS. You know how you get that feeling in your gut, they got that feeling. Yeah. The proverb says, do not be afraid of sudden fear. That's sudden fear. We all feel that. We're all going to feel that at time. But we're not supposed to be afraid of that. We're supposed to look to Him when fear comes on us, when that sudden sense of danger causes the hair on the back of our neck to stand up. And that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. They recited the law. They said, we can't. You know, it doesn't matter. We can't bow down to your image. Because that's placing a created thing, even our own dear lives, before His law and doing what pleases Him. Does it please Him that we lay down our lives? It may please Him that we lay down our lives. The martyrs did not lay down their lives in vain. They did not. And this life is but a vapor. It appears for a little while, it passes away, and it's too short. If I live 100 years, it won't be long enough. And it's precious to me. It's a precious gift from my Heavenly Father, this life, and the things that I can only do in this mortal life are precious to me, and I give thanks for them every day, and I want to live it to the fullest, but I will never bow down to an image. I will never place this created life before obedience to him. I want to be a Daniel, and I want him to hold me to that, whatever it takes, if and when the time comes. I don't know if it'll ever come in my lifetime. I may live in relative peace for the rest of my life. I may not. Things don't look like they're going to bode well for this nation. It looks like very hard times are coming. I don't know what that means, but I know that I need to prepare for the worst of times and pray for the best and pray that people will repent. And I'm hoping that, you know, that His Holy Spirit working through me in these messages will do some good, that it will bring many. And when I say many, I'm not talking about millions or bringing hundreds of thousands to some kind of shallow faith. I'm looking for people that will join His remnant and learn to live a life that is wholly pleasing to Him, that will learn His law and keep His commandments. Because He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Yahshua, Jesus said, not everyone who calls me Lord. There's a lot of people out there saying Jesus is Lord. Not everyone who calls me Lord will enter into the kingdom, but those that do the will of my Father. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'll see you next time on Cross the Border.